Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Good evening, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Washington, D.C. I am so excited to be with you again tonight on a live radio broadcast. Tonight, we are so excited to host a best-selling author named Troy Anderson. Please give it up for Troy Anderson. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on your show.
Yes, sir. I'm so excited to have you. This book is absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to get into more of it. But I would like to tell the audience a little bit about you. Listen to this, Bride. Troy, first, tell them, what state are you in?
I live in Orange County in California.
Oh, you're in California. Okay. Here we go. Troy Anderson is a Pulitzer Prize-nominated investigative journalist, best-selling co-author, along with Paul McGuire of The Babylonian Code, former executive editor of Charisma Magazine and Charisma Media, and a regular guest on numerous television and radio shows. He lives in Irvine, California. Sir, it is such an honor to have you here tonight. Now listen, before we get into your book, I would love to hear about the man, Troy. Now, could you talk to the bride and tell us a little bit about you? Like, what did God do to take you from nothing into something?
Well, I guess it all began when I was a kid, 1979. All these Jesus people from Southern California invaded my little hometown in Oregon in their VW buses, and one of them was Richard Wheeler. So it was all these sort of like, you know, hippies, and it was a shock to our hometown because, you know, it was a pretty conservative little fishing town. And one of them was named Richard Wheeler. He's a minister, and he became the leader of the youth group. And he ended up leading me to the Lord, and he gave me a copy of Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And just massively fascinated by that book. I sat on a cliff overlooking the 101 and read it in two different nights. And so that sort of planted the seed of interest in the Bible prophecy. And then I'd actually go to his house for a few years while he still lived there, and he'd teach me about Bible prophecy. So My grandmother had encouraged me to become a writer. One of my ancestors is Frederick von Schiller. He's the Ode to Joy poet. He wrote the poem that Beethoven set to music in the Ninth Symphony back in the late 1700s.
Wow.
And she encouraged me to follow in his footsteps. So eventually, you know, I took journalism and I worked at newspapers for 20 years, LA Daily News and other secular newspapers. And then I became an executive.
Troy, before you go on any further, I would like for you to tell the bride what 101 is. I understand it because I drove through California, but tell them what that is because I want them to have a picture of what you just said.
Oh, yeah. So Highway 101 is the main road, main highway that runs up and down the West Coast. So, you know, it starts in, the border of Mexico and San Diego, and it goes all the way up to Canada along the coast of the West Coast of America. And there in Oregon's real beautiful little stretch with, nice rock cliffs overlooking the ocean and beautiful purple sunsets. And so a little fishing town, Port Orford is where I grew up at and is where I met Richard Wheeler.
And so that is where you said you sat over there. I mean, I have a visual of you just sitting there looking at the beauty of God while you was doing that, you know?
Yeah, it's a very beautiful area. They have, you know, really, really cool sunsets there, sort of like a purple reddish sunset at night over the ocean over all the clouds.
Aww.
You know, so I just remember sort of like a sandy cliff overlooking the 101. I read the late great Planet Earth, so it was, you know, a lot of fun.
Yes, I just wanted you to explain that. So go ahead, we're following you.
I became executive editor of Prisma Magazine. It's a Christian magazine. And then back in 2009, I was still a reporter at the LA Daily News, and I'd heard about this prophecy conference at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, here in Southern California. So I told my editor at the Daily News about it. He goes, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. You could do a story on, you know, Bible prophecy. So I went there, and there was probably several thousand people there. I think Dr. Tim LaHaye was speaking, and David Hockey, and Paul McGuire, my co-author, he was speaking. And I heard him say, the world is undergoing the greatest transformation since the Tower of Babel, a coming one world government, cashless society, and universal religion. And it struck me when I heard that, it just sort of electrified me. I just said to myself, if this is true, you know, because I sort of, you know, I remembered the stuff I'd learned, you know, reading the late great Planet Earth. I said to myself, if this is true, this is a gigantic story. And so I introduced myself to Paul McGuire. We became friends. And shortly after that, he started asking me to write a book with him and to make a movie. And so that sort of began our friendship and sort of this decade-long investigation into, you know, are we really in the run-up to these end-time events that the Bible predicts?
Wow. Now, what movie is it that y'all produced?
Well, we've got two best-selling books out. The first one in the series is The Babylon Code, and that's a expose of globalism. And then the new book is Trumpocalypse, and that's the follow-up or the sequel. And so we're in negotiations now with a film producer to turn Trumpocalypse into a docudrama film for theatrical release and a TV series. So we're in the beginning stages of that.
Wow. Well, sir, I would like for you to give a few definitions to the bride. I understand it, but I want to make sure that she understands what you're saying. When you say globalist, and we hear Trump talk about this all the time, that he's a nationalist, and then you hear globalist, can you explain what that is to us?
Yeah, so globalists have been around for a long time. These are, you know, sort of the elite. And what they believe is that they believe that, you know, you should bring the world together in unity. They sort of believe in this global utopia kind of idea where, you know, you eliminate borders, you have all kinds of free trade, and eventually, you know, and they've stated this in you know, many different places and times, that they essentially would like to form a global government. I mean, John Lennon sang this in the song Imagine. And that's sort of one of the theme songs to sort of their vision for this globalized world, where essentially this elite, would bring the world together, and you'd probably still have nation states and that kind of thing, but you'd have some kind of maybe a global public authority or a worldwide system, where they would call the shots, and so nation states would take sort of a back seat. In fact, the United Nations has divided the world up into 10 big regions. European Union is sort of the model for this global system. And, if humans were, you know, good and we, you know, weren't prone to evil, you know, maybe we could create some kind of utopian world. But, you know, humans aren't that way. We've got 5,000 years of history to prove it. And so when you consolidate power into one, you know, small number of people, you know, all kinds of bad things can happen. So the big concern is that, you know, instead of having this utopian world government that, you know, where you can eliminate nuclear weapons and address poverty and all those kind of, with a global totalitarian state with some kind of dictator at the helm that could make life, you know, a living hell for everybody. So that's you know, those are sort of the two sides of the story on what globalism is. And so these, you know, because I'm an investigative journalist, these books really delve into, you know, what globalism is, how it relates to Bible prophecy, and how far along they are in moving us into this kind of worldwide system.
Well, with Trump proclaiming to be a nationalist, can you explain that to the bride, how that is different versus the globalist mentality?
So in our first book, you know, we talk about, you know, the first book is called The Babylon Code, and the reason we called it The Babylon Code is in the Bible. You first hear about Babylon in Genesis 11, and this is where God comes down and sees, you know, Nimrod and humanity trying to build this Tower of Babel, and it's believed that it was, you know, some kind of, you know, astrological, maybe like early occult kind of technology, or maybe they, you know, could contact, you know, the spiritual dimension and download, you know, knowledge, you know, secret knowledge from, you know, most likely demonic entities. And so, you know, God saw this as rebellion, because after the flood of Noah, he had told them to spread around the world, populate the whole planet. And essentially, you know, he had a vision for, you know, people having nation states, and it sort of serves as checks and balances, just like in our federal government. You've got the president and the Congress and the Supreme Court and different branches, and they serve as checks and balances on each other. So one particular, you know, part doesn't get too powerful and can become corrupt and cause all kinds of problems. So, you know, God, this was sort of God's vision from the beginning. So when he saw this rebellion, you know, Nimrod at the helm, you know, intervened and confused the languages and people, you know, spread around the world. But essentially, you know, Nimrod was trying to create the first world government economic system and a cult-based religion. And, you know, after God, you know, confused languages and people spread around the world, there was the first essentially secret society, you know, emerged from ancient Babylon, and they passed down the secret knowledge they gained from whatever kind of occult, you know, ritual they were performing. And this knowledge was passed down for thousands of years through a whole variety of different kinds of secret societies and similar kinds of groups, you know, from, you know, ancient Babylon to Egypt, you know, to the Greeks, the Roman Empire, onto, you know, Europe, and eventually to America. And then, you know, in Revelation, it talks about Mystery Babylon and Babylon the Great, and that this Mystery Babylon system will rise again in the end times. And so, you know, it began with ancient Babylon, and it comes full circle in Book Revelation to Mystery Babylon. And that's been considered one of the Bible's greatest mysteries. What is Mystery Babylon? So we unpack that in the Babylon Code. And so this, you know, this battle between nationalism and globalism. So essentially, you know, nationalism is just a term that means, you know, people who favor the nation state, a sovereign nation state, you know, like America and, you know, countries around the world, the present world system that we have. And globalists, they're opposed to that system. They want to create this globalist system. So nationalism, the media is trying to make people think that that refers to Hitler. But, you know, the word nationalism does not refer, I mean, you know, Hitler was a socialist, which is pretty close to communist. And in fact, he was the leader of the National Socialist Party. And so, you know, we talk about in the book that there's some evidence that he may have been part of, you know, very powerful secret societies and that helped raise him up to power, and there's occult roots and all that stuff. So nationalism is not a reference to, you know, Hitler and national socialism.
Exactly.
Nationalism just means that, you know, independent nation states.
Yes. Now, I would like us to move on to Trump. Okay, I was reading in your book. You know, one thing I love the way that you wrote this book, because I'm an author as well, and I'm surely not as gifted as you. You have a lot more in there. But the way that you started the book out, you really addressed the country. You address the way that people are looking at how Trump plays in biblical prophecy. And one thing that we can all agree on both sides of the fence, is that Trump is the pivotal part of biblical prophecy right now. So what I would like for you to do is explain to the bride, like you do in the book, because you did it so well, about why people are seeing Trump as the evil devil, which are the ones that are basically partnering with the globalist ideology, okay? And then the other ones that believe that he is sent from God and God's going to use him and all this. Can you explain that to the bride how you did in the book?
Well, I mean, what's happening here is we are now in the center of this great maelstrom. You know, essentially the greatest spiritual battle in the history of the world is now going on, and the fate of the planet literally hangs in the balance. And so almost everything we see happening in the news and throughout the world is part of this spiritual battle. So essentially you have the forces of evil, the forces of darkness, you know, Satan, Lucifer, his demons, and all the sort of, you know, his secret society minions and occult groups and, you know, agents in Hollywood and government, business and academia, and, you know, throughout the world. He's largely gained control of a very large section of the world, essentially. They are doing everything they possibly can to fight President Trump, because he poses the greatest threat to their plan to, you know, to move us into this new world order, or whatever you want to call it. And so this is a great spiritual battle, but it's also now a spiritual battle that's spilled out into the geopolitical system. And so we're seeing the media and Hollywood and academia just engaging in this full court, all out war to, you know, try to deceive and confuse everybody and paint, you know, President Trump as this, you know, terrible man, and you know, try to, you know, harm him politically as much as they possibly can, in the hopes that when we get to 2020, they can run, you know, Hillary Clinton again, or somebody else that, you know, potentially might be able to beat him. That's everything we see happening is all about that, because if they can, a couple of years ago when President Trump won the election, I mean, it sent shockwaves around the world. Nobody could understand how he possibly won. And so, you know, it's like Franklin Graham said, I think the first opening quote we use in Trumpocalypse was a quote from Franklin Graham, who's, you know, the son of Billy Graham. And he said, let me grab it here. He said, did God show up in searching the news after the election? The secular media keep asking, how did this happen? What went wrong? How do we miss this? Some are in shock. Political pundits are stunned. Many thought the Trump-Pence ticket didn't have a chance. None of them understood the God factor. So what we do in this book is we explore this whole question of, you know, did God intervene somehow in this election? And, you know, literally millions of Christians believe that he did, because right before this all happened, I mean, we were on the verge of being moved into this new world order. If Hillary Clinton would have won, they would have moved us into this globalist system. And maybe initially it may have seemed like a good thing, but eventually the Bible tells us that, you know, the Antichrist and the false prophet will exploit these naive hopes of the globalists to create this, you know, global utopia, and will plunge the world into this gigantic nightmare called the Great Tribulation. The Bible tells us that, you know, 2/3 of humanity will die in wars and nuclear wars and all kinds of, you know, just horrible things are going to happen. So we were on the verge of that, and God intervened to give us more time to essentially, you know, fulfill the Great Commission and spread the gospel.
Yes, Lord. Yes, I do believe that too. I know this is your show, but I would like to say something. When he first came into office on the radio, I did a 40 days fasting and praying with other prophets across the country. We helped him as he got in. But when I traveled across the country on the Mega Revival Tour last year, I got to interview Americans, average Americans, about how they felt about the president. And what I discovered is the same thing you're saying. It's that people knew we was going off a cliff, and they knew if we did not get out and repent to God, that we was all going to hit tribulation like right now. But we all got out there and we repented and we come together and prayed like never before. And we saw a literal miracle happen before our eyes. The problem became is when he became the president, the church got scared, I think, because the enemy got so loud. Do you see what I mean? And he's been loud ever since. So what can we do to encourage the church to rise in this hour?
Well, yeah, there's several things going on now to essentially, you know, encourage the church to be bold and courageous. I mean, if you look at the stories in the Bible, they're almost all stories of very courageous heroes who, you know, did what God called them to do, were obedient, and weren't, you know, worried about their, you know, how they could be seen by their friends on social media or what kind of impact it's going to have on their careers and their, you know, sort of personal peace, prosperity, and happiness. I mean, they, you know, many of them gave their very lives, you know, for the you know, the calling that God placed on them. So, you know, the Bible, you know, is very specific about, you know, courage and courageousness and bravery being very important for those who would follow Jesus. So, you know, I would just encourage, you know, ministers and pastors and Christians in general just to be bold, to be courageous. I mean, this is the greatest battle in the history of the world that's now going on. And, you know, God has called us to stand up and to be strong. You know, as you know, our friend Kevin Jessup, who's a founder of the Global Strategic Alliance, he's brought forth an initiative called the National and Global Day of Repentance. And he's been working on that, and we just found out last week that it's, you know, Ben Carson, Secretary Ben Carson is behind this, and it sounds like Vice President Mike Pence is, and you know, Kevin's, you know, I think he said he's 99% certain that President Trump's going to sign this initiative. So in the Bible, this is what whenever Israel would you know, go so far you know, in the wrong direction. This is the prescription for this is the solution, is essentially to repent before God and to ask God to forgive us of our sins. You know, certainly here in America, we've committed, you know, just a ton, unbelievable amount of sin. And because we have Hollywood here and most of the media centered here, we spread it around the world. And so, you know, it's incumbent upon us as Christians to, you know, to get behind this initiative for a National Day of Repentance. You know, the last time we had a National Day of Repentance was Woodrow Wilson in World War I. And before that, it was really Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. And, you know, almost all the presidents from George Washington to Abraham Lincoln would call for a National Day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation or different sort of, you know, titles like that. Essentially, the Day of Repentance. And so when at the height of the Civil War, when it looked like the North was going to win, Lincoln called for this day. And then, you know, not too long after that, I think it's Stonewall Jackson, one of his men, accidentally shot him to death. And then the North won the Battle of Gettysburg, and the, you know, North won. And so, you know, America was saved. The African-American slaves were freed. And President Lincoln credited the National Day of Repentance with saving our country. So...
Wow.
And George Washington said the same thing, is that it looked like the British were going to beat the American, you know, beat the colonists in the Revolutionary War. They had this National Repentance, and then the tide turned, and you know, America became a nation. This great experiment in freedom, and actually, you know, much of America is based on biblical precepts and principles, and the early founding fathers, and certainly the Pilgrims were great, you know, believers in the Bible. In fact, the Pilgrims wrote in the Mayflower Compact that they came to America for the advancement of the Christian faith, and their descendants, you know, founded the, you know, Harvard and Yale and Princeton and as seminaries to train ministers. So most of the history of America was, you know, Bible reading in the schools and prayer and church going and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're a nation that, you know, largely try to base much of our government on the Bible. And so to a certain, you know, to whatever degree God has honored that. And so now we're at this, you know, critical turning point. And so this National Day of Repentance is a, you know, what the solution that the Bible calls for.
Now, Troy, I would like to read an excerpt from your book, if you don't mind. Bride, first of all, before I do, Troy, would you tell them how they can purchase your book, where it's at?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Trumpocalypse is at Barnes & Noble. It's at most Christian bookstores. You know, you can get it on Amazon or Books-A-Million. It's at Walmart and Target. And you can find out more on my website. It's troyanderson.us.
Okay. I would like to read this, sir, and I would like for you, Bride, to hear this. This is on page 20. This is actually still in the introduction. He says, "This buoyancy and fresh vision for America have also infused evangelical Christians with a new spirit. After years of having to hang their heads low just to survive, they witnessed a living example of one man who was brave, compassionate, and positive, and had the guts to take on the most powerful political forces on the earth. Trump demonstrated to millions of evangelical Christians that even if it seems you're outnumbered, you can peacefully, intelligently, and positively push back. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you can stand up for your God and what you believe in." Sir, that really is the way I see it. I see like a fire in the Christians that are awake to all this, basically. There is a lot of them that are not aware of what God is doing. And I just tell them, have you fasted? Get on your face before God and you will see Trump. Through God's eyes, you will see what is going on. But I agree with your book, sir. I feel like it is a revival. I really do. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the most amazing thing about him is he has this incredible ability to communicate, complex ideas in a very simple way and sort of often a humorous way. So this was part of his, this is one of the reasons why I believe, God raised him up, is he had this way to, sort of pull back this veil that's been over all our eyes. We were sort of, before, President Trump president, we were sort of living in this fake reality. We sort of thought that, the world's just the way it seems. It's just we've got presidents, we've got politicians, and they run things, and that's how the world works. But, I mean, he was very successful in helping pull back this veil, the Bible talks about a great deception in the end times. And so, he unmasked these powerful, globalists and their secret societies. I mean, Newt Gingrich even came out and said that, President Trump, he wasn't a member of the club. He wasn't a member of the secret society. And, he may be referring to Yale University's Skull and Bones, which, some of our presidents have been members of in the past.
Yes.
Almost all our presidents, they've stacked their cabinets and the federal government with people from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And, these are all sort of globalist organizations that have an immense political influence and power over our country. And many of these have, links to, Freemasonry and of course you got the Bilderberg group where you have all these, world leaders meet and behind closed doors. Illuminati. In fact, in Trumpocalypse, we talk about there's a certain amount of evidence that Skull and Bones could be sort of the modern iteration, or at least the United States iteration of the old Bavarian Illuminati that, emerged in the late 1700s. When the Bavarian elector banned the secret societies in Germany back in the late 1700s, instead of disappearing from history, they might have just sort of gone underground and may have joined up with Freemasonry. And so, most Freemasons wouldn't be aware of this, but the evidence we talk about in Trumpocalypse is that the top echelons of Illuminized Freemasonry would be very aware of what these globalist plans are and the New World Order and that kind of thing. So Trump, he pulled back the veil on all this stuff, and all this information started coming out in books and media shows and, Alex Jones and there's all kinds of people out there now trying to, pull back the veil on this corrupt, evil stuff that's been going on. And the links between, the Democrats and the progressives and the globalists and all these different groups we're talking about here. So Trump just had this uncanny ability to reveal all this. And because he had this, global media Boldy pulpit, he was able to get this message out to the entire world. So it's not just, you know, create this surge of you know, like a sort of like a Franklin Graham called it a Christian revolution, or some people call it the Trump revolution. It's not just in America; it's worldwide. You had Brexit during this time, and now there's moves around the world to essentially challenge these globalists and their plans for us.
Well, I would like to ask you this, sir. Do you mind if any of the audience calls in and asks you questions?
Oh no, yeah, I'd love to answer questions.
Well, Brad, let me give you a phone number if you would like to call in and ask questions. The number is 929-477-1994. Somebody type that in for me. It's 929-477-1994. And you will be able to ask him a question. Okay, one other question I have about, okay, when Trump first got in, it did shock the world. It did set the church, which I call the remnant, that's away, you know, it set them on fire like, wow, God. I mean, in my case, I feel like we're literally watching like a David scenario with Goliath. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's so amazing to watch. It's like we're watching the Bible still being written in live, you know what I'm saying, in live action. And so what I would like for you to tell the bride right now is, okay, now that we have been with him almost 2 years, okay, what do you see that we need to know from this point until 2020? What should we know about the Trump presidency?
Well, the greatest threat going on right now is that essentially the Democrats just took the House. And so,
right.
You know, I was afraid this was going to happen because it seemed like, you know, we were getting complacent, and that's what happened is, you know, we had enough people go out and vote to, you know, elect President Trump, but now, you know, the Democrats have taken the House. The next, you know, and, you know, polls show that among evangelical Christians, I think it's, you know, there's like 90 million, I think, evangelical Christians in America. Only half are registered to vote, and then only a quarter of those actually go out and vote, or half of those go out and vote.
What?
So it's this gigantic voting block. And so if Christians just simply voted, everything we see happening in this country now would not be happening the way it is, because, you know, you can largely vote biblical values. But the biggest problem we have is that Christians just don't vote. And so we just saw this with the, you know, this midterm election. So now the Democrats have taken the House. So, you know, the expectation is, and it's logical, they're going to do everything they possibly can to investigate, you know, the President Trump and his administration, all kinds of investigations, maybe try to impeach him, and essentially, you know, just try to weaken him politically. So by 2020, you know, they can run Hillary Clinton or somebody else, and with the hope of beating him in 2020. And then we'll, if that happens, we'll be right back to where we were before with this, you know,
exactly.
And this time, you know, they're not going to be, you know, nice. And you know,
exactly.
We can see real persecution and a real acceleration towards this new world order. So, you know, this complacency that we've, you know, been, unfortunately that's occurred, is the worst thing that could have possibly happened. And so there's a gigantic threat to you know, essentially to, you know, Christians and to, you know, to America and to the free world, essentially, between now and 2020 and outcome of that election. So that's the biggest thing happening. That is the biggest story in the world, and it's going to be the biggest story in the world for the next 2 years as this whole thing plays out and the next presidential election begins. It's going to be this battle for planet Earth.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you that since God moved me up here to Washington, D.C. to get the WATB planted in all of the different government entities, since I've been around the press, they are very hostile to him. I mean, it's a spirit. You know, it's like he can't do anything right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I was a member of the mainstream media for 20 years. You know, I still write for Reuters and Newsmax and Town Hall and different, you know, magazines and media outlets. But, you know, I've been a journalist for 27 years. I've never seen the media behave in the way it has the last 2 years. It's just unprecedented.
Right.
And so it tells me, like, I was talking to former LA County Supervisor Mike Antonovich. I used to cover the Board of Supervisors for the LA Daily News. And we were just communicating on Facebook, and I asked him, what do you think about this all-out media attack on the president and everything? And he said, he's been a politician for, like, 40, 50 years. He was a head of the Republican Party in California at one point, a state lawmaker. And he said that he'd never seen anything like this in all his years in politics. And he said this is beyond just, you know, regular politics. This is spiritual in nature. This is a spiritual battle.
This is a battle of
good against evil.
Yes, it is. I really, really, I feel that way. Sir, I want to read one other excerpt. There are people across the country that are turning their hearts to see the truth, that are starting to see what is happening spiritually, and you actually address this in your book. So let me find that page for a moment. You actually have an awesome quote from this guy. Here it is. Okay. Now, Brian, this is actually on page 4, but let's see. No, that's not it. One moment. So much good. And, Brian, you have got to get this book. Well, I can't find it now, sir. Yeah, it was some gentleman, and he was saying how it's opened his eyes since President Trump got in there. Let me see if I can find it. Well, forgive me, Brad. Here it is. I found it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, Brad. Here we go. Now, this is on page 36, okay? I'm just going to read this paragraph. He says, this concept was reflected by Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, television host, author, and president of and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Although Trump did not fit his picture of a president and he had many issues with him, he said, but maybe it takes this kind of person to bring the change needed to turn this country around. I have a great expectation that God is doing something supernatural here through Donald Trump. And it would never have been something that I would have expected. But I think my consternation has shifted to hope. Israel has always been a key issue, and Donald Trump is a much better option for Israel than Hillary Clinton would have been. Donald Trump understands clearly the threat that Iran poses. Iran is the greatest threat that Israel faces in the world, and I think Israel has a true partner now with the Trump administration in standing against Iran. Now, that I believe that is what has turned a lot of the Christian hearts towards Trump, is the way that he feels about Israel. So are you seeing across the country maybe a turn that's finally starting to see President Trump as partnering with God's agenda? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think the support for President Trump is far more widespread than, you know, anything the mainstream media is trying to, you know, lead us to believe. America is, you know, largely a nation of Christians. And, you know, some of this has changed with the demographic shifts in, you know, recent decades. But still, the nation is, you know, I think it's like 70-80% at least Christians, and, you know, that will call themselves Christians. And so there's widespread support for the president in that sense. And but one thing, you know, but it's confusing for people because they, you know, they hear so many terrible things about the president and this administration that. You know, unless you really have time to dig into it and ferret out the truth of the matter, it can be confusing. And so that's part of the what the media and the Hollywood and academia is trying to do is confuse us. Of course, you know, the devil is sort of the author of confusion and the father of lies. And so when the president refers to, you know, fake news, he's referring to sort of this dishonest kind of, you know, reporting and emphasis and sensationalism that's going on. And so, you know, if you look at the Bible, you know, even though President Trump, you know, did not live a morally upstanding life his entire life, you know, God would often use, you know, even pagan kings and pagan leaders and people who weren't, you know, believers in different ways. You know, he used King Nebuchadnezzar, he used Pharaoh, and then, you know, of course, many of the biblical characters were flawed individuals. You know, King David, you know, committed adultery and murder. You know, Noah got drunk. You know, Moses killed a man. Peter denied, even knew Jesus three times in the night of before his crucifixion. And you know, there's quite a few biblical characters that, you know, were flawed. They sinned and God restored them and God used them anyway. So I think what's the, you know, the God sees the heart and he looks at all aspects of a situation, and he uses those people who are essentially willing to be used, and that will carry out, you know, his will. And so, you know, we believe that President Trump has this warrior spirit, and we do believe that, you know, he's become a believer in the last couple of years, a stronger believer.
Yes.
And his faith is growing in God. There's all kinds of indications of that. You know, I interviewed several members of his faith advisory team, Pastor Jim Garlow and even Sid Roth and several others, and they all said that James Dobson. They all said that they thought that his faith was growing and that he was becoming, a more mature believer, and he's essentially getting this gigantic baptism by fire. And then also you've got to consider he's a lifelong businessman and he's used to negotiations. Yeah. You know, he wrote the book The Art of the Deal, and so much of what we've seen him do and say in these tweets and such is all part of an ongoing negotiation. You know, much of life is negotiations, and take for instance this whole nuclear standoff with, you know, North Korean leader Kim Jong Un. I mean, here last year this, you know, essentially madman in North Korea was threatening this repeatedly with nuclear attack, and the guy does have nuclear weapons, and has been trying to develop, you know, missiles that can hit us and kill us, right? You know, this is a real threat.
Yeah.
And in fact, I interviewed a professor at Princeton who's part of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. He's a nuclear physicist, and I asked him, I go, well, you know, what do you think is the chance that we could have some kind of, you know, nuclear war? And he told me that he thinks there's a 33.3% chance of some kind of nuclear conflagration over the next decade. You know, so we're living in a very dangerous time in history. But, you know, at least at this point, you know, President Trump, because he took a strong stand against essentially a bully and said, you know, I've got a bigger nuclear button than you do. And we've got nuclear submarines that, you know, could take out your entire country. You know, now we're at the negotiating table, you know, so. We've had, you know, presidents that, you know, just sort of let North Korea do whatever they were doing, and that led us to this very dangerous state. So, you know, we need somebody bold and courageous to help, you know, bring us through all these threats in the world.
Yes, that's right. Well, I admire him. I mean, you tell me somebody that would not take a salary, that does the job that he does, goes to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, gets up at 4 o'clock. Listen, Bride, if you have ever looked at his itinerary, you would be like, what kind of man? I mean, don't you feel that way, Troy? Like, what kind of man can do this 7 days a week?
He's got to have just like the hardest constitution that you can possibly imagine to take all this abuse on his family.
Yes.
He's not taking a salary. It must be massively stressful, right? And then, you know, you just got to be a very strong individual to, like, endure all this. And so I truly believe that he saw what was going on in our country. He saw the same thing that we saw, that we were, you know, we're in danger of losing our country. And so he was in a position, had the, you know, the notoriety and the right characteristics where he could, you know, he could run for president and potentially could win, and then he could help our country. And so, you know, he's a very brave man. He's a hero, and he's doing all this for America. So, you know, I admire him for being brave.
I do too. Now, Troy, I've got to tell you a quick story. Saturday or the other day, I filmed an event at the White House. It was the Democrats, and they were rallying against the president with Mueller. And it was the first one that I have filmed having to do with the Democrats. And my spirit got sick because of the rebellious anger, cussing, I mean, just vomit. It's a vomit before God's eyes. How them people act and treat our American flag and everything. And so anyways, I was out there listening to all this, and then my spirit just got sick, and I left, and I ended up meeting a woman on the train. Now listen to this, how God does. I met this woman, and I knew she was progressive, a businesswoman. And we started talking, and I told her, you know, that I was bringing Christian media up here. And she goes, well, I got a question for you. You tell me why the evangelicals will not come off of Trump. After him doing all this to all these women, she goes down all this list. So I told her, I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. I said, we feel like that Obama was a judgment to us. The church has been off kilter, so we got the kind of president we deserved. And we knew that we had to repent because our country was going off a cliff. So we repented, and God gave us President Trump. I said, so let me tell you something. This is what I told this woman. I said, he will not be impeached, and he will not be moved, because the church is backing him up, and we will not come off that wall. And she was like, oh. I said, yes. So anyways, I got home and looked it up. You're not going to believe who that woman was. She was the head of the organization that headed the whole thing across the nation.
Wow. That's amazing.
I was like, God wanted her to know that the Christians, we will die for what we believe in. We are not backing off. Like, I really believe that a spirit of fire, I feel God's presence so much right now, but a spirit of fire is going across this country. And the church is waking up that we're going to lose our country if we don't get out there and fight for what we believe in. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, and I want to say one other thing, and then we'll pray. The persecution of Christians that stand up for Trump is terrible. I'm interviewing this gentleman that just got fired from his church. Now listen to this. He's an African-American praise and worship leader who goes to an African-American church, and he's very vocal that he supports the president and he's conservative, right? So the other day he was at church doing praise and worship, and this gentleman walked in the end, and he looked very suspicious. He had like these flyers in his hand. And when the pastor did the altar call, he stood up and started screaming and said, what kind of church is this that would have this guy here leading praise and worship that supports President Trump? Interrupted the entire service, and he was screaming and telling him. He told that guy, he said, we're going to take you out. And so the pastor and them had him escorted out, but then a couple of days later, the pastor fired him. And, I mean, we're serious across this country about the war that we're really raging, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, there's a large portion of the country, you know, as opposed to him, there's all this confusion going on. So many people are, you know, wondering, you know, what exactly is going on. So, you know, that's why what you're doing and what these, you know, many different, you know, ministers are doing to try to explain all this and to, you know, sort of, you know, cut through all the, you know, the sort of subterfuge and brainwashing and propaganda is very important to, you know, get the true message out.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, I would like for you, if you could talk to America for 5 minutes and give her an encouraging word, what would you say to her? And we're listening.
Well, you know this our book Trumpocalypse, it includes the last or one of the last interviews of Billy Graham about the second coming before he died. So when I interviewed Billy Graham, he said he compared America to ancient Nineveh, and he said that when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn the king and the people that, you know, judgment was coming, that the king and the people repented. And Billy Graham said that he believed the same thing could happen again today in America. So that was one of his final messages, is that he believed very deeply that if we repented and turned back to God, that just like ancient Nineveh, you know, America could be spared and go on to, you know, fulfill God's original destiny for us. And we completely believe that, you know, from the time of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, God had a destiny for America. You know, God's used America in incredible ways to spread the gospel around the world. You know, literally hundreds of millions of people have come to the Lord around the world, over the last several centuries. And there's still a lot of work to do. My wife and I went to a Faith Comes by Hearing event in at the Museum of the Bible there in Washington, D.C., here last summer. And this is a ministry that works to make the Bible available in various audio formats, you know, on your cell phone, DVDs, solar-powered audio Bibles that could be taken to, like, remote tribes.
Awesome.
And they can all listen to the Bible in their own language. And they're working together with the Museum of the Bible, Wycliffe Bible Translators, the Seed Company, American Bible Society, and they set a goal. If I remember the right date, they set a goal to essentially make the Bible available both in print and audio versions to everybody in the world by, what was it, 2032, I think it is. And so,
wow.
You know, Jesus told us that the gospel will be preached to all the world, and then the end would come. So, I mean, here's a bunch of, you know, very large ministries joining together. I'm probably going to write a story about this for, you know, Christianity Today or something. And, you know, they're partnering together to essentially fulfill the Great Commission by 2032. So there's still a lot of work to do. There's still, I think it was like 7,000, I forget the exact number now, but maybe like 7,000 different people groups or language groups that still don't have the Bible either in print or audio form. And so, even though we're seeing this gigantic revival essentially going on around the world, especially in Asia and Africa and South America, just, you know, literally, you know, I mean, I think China now has maybe up to 125 million Christians. So you got this gigantic revival going on there. And there's even signs of awakening in Europe now after, you know, largely jettisoning Christianity. So, sort of, you know, it was one of the modern birthplaces of Christianity, but it, you know, church attendance had dropped, you know, significantly, but now there's, like, you know, signs of people, you know, crying out to God in Europe even. And and then we're seeing sort of this, you know, like you said, there's repentance going on here, renewal. So there's a lot happening. God's moving in big ways. We're actually very optimistic that people are going to do the right thing and that Christians are going to do the right thing. You know, if you look back at the history of America, it's sort of this history of, you know, things get really dark, like in the Revolutionary War, you know, during the Civil War, during the Great Depression, or World War II especially. I mean, you know, there's points at all these different times where it looked like, you know, the Civil War, you know, that they might lose, that during the Revolutionary War, the British might, you know, conquer us. And then certainly World War II, that, you know, the Nazis and the socialists, you know, could take over the world. And so, but, you know, Americans had this history of sort of pulling themselves up by the bootstraps at the last minute and getting the job done. Largely it's because God intervenes, and because, you know, God only intervenes in human affairs if we ask him. So, you know, it's very important for people to pray, to ask the Lord to, you know, help America to go on to fulfill its destiny, to help fulfill the Great Commission, and, you know, ask the Lord for repentance of our own sins, and to, you know, seek the Lord for what he would like you to do, you know, as all these end time events unfold.
Yes. Thank you so much for your encouraging word. You're encouraging the church to have hope in this hour, because even though it looks so dark out there, God is still shining so bright. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Bride, we're going to pray for him. We pray for all our guests on the broadcast. we come together in agreement across the world. So if y'all would bow your heads, let's pray for this author and for this book and his destiny. Amen. Lord, we just come before you tonight. We thank you so much, Lord, for the awesome opportunity to highlight this great servant. Lord, I thank you so much for his rich history in journalism and all the things that he has done, Lord, to change the world through his writings and all the different creative ways that you have used him for the body of Christ, Lord. We just give you glory and honor tonight, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you increase that in the future even greater, Lord. Increase in the prophetic, Lord, and very creative ways to express what they see in the spirit through movies and through arts and through 4K and through virtual reality and all the different things, Lord, that are coming down the pike. I pray that you give him technicians and people that understand how the tides of technology is changing right now while we have time. And, Lord, we thank you that you are using him and Paul to encourage the church to rise up and fight and to take our country back and to not give up. We thank you, Lord, that they are leading the army, and we hold up their arms right now and say, go, brothers, and be all that God has called you to be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, sir, if you would pray for us, we would be honored.
Dear Lord, I just to come before you now, Lord, I ask that you bless this ministry, Lord, that you Dr. Knight to spread your word, to spread hope, to spread courage throughout the body of Christ, Lord, and give her favor in Washington, D.C. as she reports on what's happening there, Lord. And we just ask you, send your mighty angels to clear the way, to defeat any obstacles that come against her, Lord, and to use her to spread the hope and the message of the gospel around the world through various means of the media.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you so much, sir. Before we get off here, please tell the bride once again how they can find out more about you and your book.
Yeah, so you can find out more about our two books, The Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse, at troyanderson.us. And Trumpocalypse is available at Barnes & Noble, most Christian bookstores, and Amazon, and most places where they sell books.
Okay, well, thank you so much, sir, for giving us your time tonight. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much. A great honor to be on your show. God bless you.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Okay, Rob, we're going to go into a quick commercial. Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. All right, Bride, listen, thank you so much for listening tonight. We are very honored, Bride, to host these people on this radio broadcast that encourages the church to rise up in this hour. I mean, we are in the most prophetic times. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I'm more excited today about living than I've ever been in my life. And I thank you so much for listening to WATB Radio, because you have been with me. Can you believe it's about to be 4 years? In 1 month, we will have been doing radio for 4 years professionally. Now, you have been with me through a lot where I have turned radio off for a while to go through counseling. I turned radio off for a while to get in the prayer closet. I obeyed the Lord. And now, Bride, I'm making an official announcement. Now, We are about to step into the promised land, and we are going to see this radio take off, and we're going to see God actually give you, the bride, a real radio station. We are going to see God birth a ministry, birth a media ministry, all supernaturally. It is going to be by the divine hand of God and the divine providence of God, because we will have a voice in this last hour. It is the voice of the true bride. And you know, the Lord told me that this ministry, we are the bride ministry, is releasing a new sound in the earth of unity in the bride of Christ. And I believe that the only way to have unity is by truth. We have to stand with truth in this hour so that God can set America free and set people free. Amen. So I want to thank y'all for listening and hanging with me through the years while I went through my, raising up this ministry. Now you're going to see in the very near future, probably starting in January, you are going to see the radio just shoot off bigger than ever before, because we will officially, finally, have the equipment that we have needed from the beginning. And see, this is a great example, bride, of how to enjoy the small things and to be appreciative of the small things. I remember when I started television 5 years ago, and all I had was my little iPhone 5. And now look what God has done. He's taken me all the way to the White House. And he is going to do this, bride, all supernaturally. This is what happens when we obey him. He will do amazing things. So I just want to thank you for sticking with me all these years. And you're about to see what God's going to do. Amen. All right, bride, love you, and I will see you soon again.